Hey guys, this is Sharad with Recently. I'm host of Recently Podcast, bringing you another show with a fantastic guest, Brian Davis. He's joining us from a very fun place. Brian, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Sharad, thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
Yeah, thank you for coming on the show, man. Tell us where you're joining in from.
I am joining in from Lima, Peru right now.
Oh, fun, man. Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself. What took you to Lima, Peru? Like, let's just start, you know, how you got into real estate and, you know, give us a little bit of background about yourself.
Yeah. So those are two totally different stories. How I got into real estate and how I ended up in Peru. I'll start with Peru because that's an easy one. My wife is a school counselor. We moved overseas about 8.5 years ago. We spent 4 years in Abu Dhabi, and then we spent 4 years in Brasilia, the capital of Brazil. And we just moved to Lima 5 months ago. So yeah, it's fun. Like, you know, so she works at like embassy schools around the world. It's a great gig, really. Free housing, free flights home every year, full health benefits for our entire family. It's awesome. It's great. So yeah. And we can talk later in the show about, you know, investing from overseas and expat life and all that stuff.
Yeah, I would love to get into that. Yeah.
Yeah. As for real estate, so I fell into a job out of college. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life, like most 22-year-olds or like a lot of 22-year-olds anyway. So, you know, I was just asking around among my parents' friends, like, hey, what do you do? Like, you know, can I have an informational interview? Can I just learn more about what you do for a living? And I've ended up working at a subprime mortgage company, which was all the rage in 2003, if you remember.
Yeah.
But it turns out that the two owners of that company, they didn't need another loan officer. What they really needed was someone to handle the hard money loans that the two of them were making on the side of their normal conventional mortgage lending
subprime
business.
Yep.
Yeah. So I just fell into that. You know, they offered me an internship when I went and talked to them. And at the end of the summer, you know, I'd been kind of filling different roles around the company over the summer. And then at the end, they said, you know, hey, do you want to work as an account executive and a loan officer doing hard money loans to real estate investors? And I was like, sure. I mean, I don't really know much about it, but sure. Why not? I'll do it. And, you know, that time in history, real estate investors were making money hand over fist. So it was, I'm watching all these guys just making money left, right, and center. And I'm like, I could do this too. You know, what's to stop me from going out and investing in these properties and doing flips and, you know, doing the Burr method and all that stuff. So I went out and I started putting all my money into fixer upper properties, keeping most of them, you know, refinancing most of them as rentals, in the Burr method, flipped a couple, and then 2008 hit, of course. And the rest is history. Totally lost my shirt on those properties that I never properly learned how to invest before just diving in head first. And all my day job income dried up as well because no one was taking out hard money loans anymore as of, you know, right, the second half of 2008, right? Because suddenly no one was flipping houses anymore. So it was a tough moment in my young life. But, you know, as with all things, you know, one door closes, another one opens. Ended up going and working for an e-commerce company that specialized in working with mom and pop investors and landlords. And I learned a whole new set of skills in the online marketing space and, you know, selling services for investors online, and ended up splitting off and launching my own company with a former colleague of mine in 2016. And that's how Spark Rental was born.
Oh, that's cool, man. So you went from hard money loans, doing your own flips, to working for an e-commerce company, providing some services to other investors.
I did. Yeah. The company specialized in legal forms for landlords, actually.
Got it.
But, and you know, the only reason that I got hired for that is because I was a landlord myself. So even though I was going through a lot of pain and suffering with my rental properties, having a hard time.
They're getting an employee and a customer.
Right. Yeah. So it helped me get that job. Right. So, you know, again, you think that something is a total disaster, but it turns out that, you know, there's always a silver lining if you're willing to look
absolutely
for it.
Absolutely. Right? Oh, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about Spark Rental. What do you guys do? And, you know, I mean, what was the inspiration behind Spark Rental?
That's an interesting question that I never quite know how to answer, because what we originally set out to do, our original vision for the company, is so different from what we do now. Right. But that's a whole business lesson in itself, right? That, you know, what you think your business is not necessarily what your customers need or, you know, what the market needs.
Absolutely.
So we originally set out to offer a one-stop shop landlord software for like mom and pop landlords or just a couple properties, because there's some great property management software options for larger property management firms and like bigger landlords with 50 plus units. At the time, there wasn't really a great option for mom and pop landlords. The problem is that neither my partner nor I are really technical founders. So, you know, neither one of us write code, and, you know, to start a software company without either founder being technical is, in retrospect, that was, you know, that was something that we should have thought twice about. But over the years, what we found is that the content that resonate or the service that resonated most with our audience was educational content. So we started expanding our blog and doing more video broadcasts and podcasts and earning more money from affiliate revenue. And then we started offering online courses, and we've reached a point where people started asking us like, hey, can I just invest money with you guys in some of the projects that you're investing in? And, you know, we kept saying no, because, you know, at this point I was living overseas. I was not actively investing in any new properties at that point. And finally, Denny and I looked at each other and we were like, well, what would it take to be able to say yes to these people and to actually work with some of our students from our online courses, work with them on some real estate projects and let them get some hands-on experience without having to cough up 50 grand for, you know, a down payment and closing costs and cash reserves and all that stuff. So we found a boots on the ground investor in Michigan who was open to doing a couple of properties in like a big kind of like pooled investment. Pooled is the wrong word because the SEC gets tricky about that. But it was a group investment where, you know, we each invested small amounts of money in a couple properties, and they went fine from a ROI standpoint. You know, the returns were fine, but it was way too much work. And Denny and I quickly realized that there was a reason why no one else was doing that, right? It was too much work to do that with these affordable single family investment properties. So we went back to the drawing board, and it was around this time that I had started investing passively in real estate syndications. You know, it took me a long time to figure out what, you know, the whole private equity world and real estate syndication world was all about. You know, like so many people who aren't familiar with it, those terms were very intimidating to me. But once I got over that initial hurdle of that, I realized it was actually a lot easier than investing actively, you know, going out and buying properties myself. So I had invested in a few of these, and I turned to my partner, Denny, one day, and I was like, well, why don't we try offering up one of these like passive real estate syndication investments to our investment club that we've been investing with, because someone else is doing all the asset management, all the property management, all of that. All we would have to do is, you know, bring in a sponsor and you know, vet the deal together as a club and, you know, invest together. So she was like, oh, okay, I've never really heard of these, but let's give it a try. And we have not looked back since. That has become our main service, and our main business is running an investment club that lets everyday people, you don't have to be accredited, participate in these group investments and become a fractional investor in, you know, apartment complexes or self-storage facilities, mobile home parks, you know, all these kinds of properties that ordinarily you wouldn't be able to go out and just buy by yourself.
So can you walk me through like what a typical investor looks like and what a typical deal looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. So typical investor is someone who is a middle-class professional who has a decent income, a strong income, but not necessarily an enormous income. They want to diversify their portfolio to include real estate, but they don't necessarily want to go out and build an entire side hustle around real estate investing. You know, as you know, it's a lot of work to learn all the skills that you need to become an active real estate investor, to network with lenders and learn how to manage contractors, how to manage tenants, how to advertise vacant units, you know, how to work with local city inspectors and pull permits. And, you know, the list just goes on and on if you want to go out and buy properties yourself, especially if you want to renovate them. So our typical club member, they want all the cash flow and the appreciation and the tax benefits of real estate, but they just want to write a check, like, or send a wire, you know, in the 21st century.
Any minimum investment that they need to come with?
Yes. So in our club, the minimum investment per deal is 5,000, and that is not chump change, right? But it's a lot less than the typical.
That's a lot less. Yeah.
Yeah. So in the real estate syndication world, the typical minimum investment is between 50 and 100,000, which makes it really hard to diversify, right? If you have to put 50 grand, 100 grand in each deal, like going out and buying properties yourself and putting that much down on a down payment and closing costs, it just makes it hard to spread your money among a lot of different markets, a lot of different types of properties, because you have to put so much money in each basket. Whereas at 5 grand a pop, you know, again, it's not a trivial amount of money, but it's way less than you would otherwise be able to invest in real estate.
I think that's very reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah. So every month we bring in sponsors to present deals and we vet those deals together as a club. And anyone who wants to participate in those deals can do so with 5 grand a piece or more if they want. And, you know, no one has to invest in anything. You know, if you don't like the sponsors that you see this month or the deals that you see this month, you wait for next month. So very passive, but it's still a group process of vetting these deals together. And
so you guys are putting the investors, connecting the investors with the sponsors.
Yeah, we are not sponsors ourselves. We're not taking a cut of any of the money invested. Quite the opposite, actually. Like, we invest our own personal money in these deals alongside of our members. Keep our interests 100% aligned with our club members. But yeah, we are not sponsors ourselves. We're not selling securities. We charge a flat membership fee for the club, and that's our only form of revenue from the club.
And how much is it?
It's $59 a month or $497 a year.
Okay, so these people become members, and then you have sponsors coming to you and saying, hey, Brian, you know, I have this deal. And what kind of deals are these sponsors coming with? I'm sorry, I'm not very familiar with this world, but it sounds very fascinating.
Well, you know, and that's the thing, is that most people outside of the wealthiest 1% are not familiar with this world of private equity real estate syndications. But this is the primary way that the wealthy invest in real estate. So, you know, that's really our mission with this club, is to make it available to everybody, make it available to normal everyday people. Mm-hmm. So these typical deals, I would say the most common deal is a value add multifamily property deal. So you could think of it as a glorified flip, where someone finds, say, a 200 unit apartment complex that's dated, needs updating and renovating. So they'll go in and they'll update the signage and, you know, update all the common areas, and they'll renovate all of the units in the building. And then in a few years, that takes a couple of years, right? And then they raise the rents, of course, as you make the property nicer and nicer. And after a couple of years, you have added a ton of value to this property. You've forced equity and appreciation. And at that point, you can either sell it, again, as like a glorified flip, or you can refinance it. And in that case, they give all of our initial investment, or not, maybe not all. I don't want to say all. And sometimes all, sometimes some of our initial investment capital back to us, but we keep our ownership interest in the property. It's kind of like the Burr method, right? With single family rentals or small multifamily rentals, where you refinance it, you get your initial capital back, so you can go out and reinvest that elsewhere, but you keep the property, you keep the investment, keep earning cash flow from it. So investors talk about infinite returns with that, since you can keep reinvesting the same capital in all these different deals. And it's a great way to invest. So anyway, I would say that's the most common scenario, is multifamily properties that need some sprucing up, or maybe even deep renovation. But we've done mobile home park deals. We've done industrial deals. We've done retail properties. So it's just a mix. We aim for diversification above all else with these deals. We try to bring in different sponsors every month, different types of properties, different cities and states across the country. So that is one of our core missions, is just as much diversification as possible in every sense of the word.
That's fantastic. So the $5,000, let's say if I come to you and say, Brian, I want to put $5,000 in, the $5,000 is getting me, you know, a tiny fraction ownership in that project. I'm not lending money, I'm investing and getting ownership. Is that correct?
Correct. You are an equity investor. in that deal, in that property. It's not a debt investment.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And then when do your investors start making money? Not your investors, but when do people in the investing club start making money?
Yeah. So it depends on the deal. Some deals start paying cash flow distributions very quickly, you know, within a couple months of the property selling. Others, it could be a couple years. Now, it depends typically on how much value add is required for that property, how much renovation is required. If it's a property that needs very deep renovation work, it's going to take a year or two to renovate the units, stabilize the rents. So it might be 2 years or even more before you see a dime in cash flow distributions for that property. Those deals tend to offer also or to the, you know, the better returns on the back end because they have more opportunity to force equity, right? But it's just deal by deal. So, you know, in this market, we have been favoring deals that cash flow pretty early rather than waiting on that. Again, it's just deal by deal. And some of our investors are more interested in cash flow quickly. Others are more interested in higher total returns on the back end. So, you know, so they don't mind waiting a year or two before they start getting distributions. So it just depends. Depends on the deal. Depends on, you know, what you want as an investor. And again, it's part of what we're trying to do with the diversification, right? To bring as many different types of deals as possible.
How much does a typical investor in terms of annualized return an investor is making? Like, what's the range?
Yeah, so these deals typically target between 15 and 30% annualized returns. And that's a combination of cash flow yield and then the payout on the back end when the property sells. So, you know, as far as the distribution yield, the cash flow yield, that's usually in like the 4 to 8% a year range. And then the bulk of the returns come when the property sells. But, you know, again, every deal is different. So that's just sort of a typical range that we see in these deals.
And what does your vetting process look like for the sponsors?
Yeah. So first and foremost, we want to see experienced sponsors. We want to see people who are not, you know, this is not their first rodeo, right? We want to see a deep track record of success and ideally through multiple market cycles. You know, as someone who lived through 2008, for example, I like to invest with other people who were investing in that time, people who
have such a smart thing to do.
Yeah, because, you know, when you're new to investing, and this could be in any type of investment, you don't know how painful those down cycles can be until you've had a bunch of your own money lost in it or at least at risk of being lost in it. So someone who has been through multiple cycles, multiple market cycles, they just tend to be a more conservative investor, a more conservative underwriter. They have more contingencies in place for different types of risks. So yeah, that's something that we look for as well. And, you know, I don't want to make the claim that we are vetting these sponsors on behalf of the club. The club is really vetting the sponsors and the deals together as a community. Denny and I are just facilitating these deals.
And how many members do you have in your club, if you don't mind sharing? If you would
As of this morning, we have 184 members in our co-investing club.
It's fantastic. And do you have any vetting process for the members also, or anybody who wants to join can join?
There's no vetting process for the members. Anyone can join. You know, we originally restricted it to just students of our course, but we spoke with an attorney and he said that we can open it up to the public. So we did.
I'm curious, like, why not you be the sponsor also? Have you thought about that? I mean, it's got to be tempting, right?
Not as tempting as you might think. I spent many years as a landlord and as an active real estate investor. I don't miss it. So like we touched on earlier, I live overseas. I'm not there in the US to go walk these properties and to, you know, do all the due diligence that's required on these myself. My partner, Denny, she's in her 60s and she also has no interest in that at this stage in her career. So we're just as happy investing passively alongside our members.
And then do you own, you know, the properties that you had bought before 2008 or, you know, after that, do you still own any of those properties or are you just doing passive investing?
I sold my last rental property a couple years ago. So, there was a whole process of, you know, gradually unloading my portfolio. But nowadays I only invest passively in real estate.
Do you ever miss the excitement, if I want to call that, of active investing?
No. I mean, no, not really. I mean, it was so much work when it was all said and done. I mean, I've got fond memories of that excitement when you find a good deal that you're excited about taking down. Nowadays, I would just as soon spend time with my daughter or hang out with friends or travel around the world. So no, I don't miss it.
How old is your daughter?
She's three. She's three and a half. Yeah.
So it's my daughter is 3.5 too. Such a funny age. Such a funny age. So let's say someone who's looking to get started. It sounds very fascinating, by the way. Like 15 to 30% return. That's fantastic. So someone who's looking to get started, what would you tell an investor that wants to join your club and say, "Hey, Brian, I'm interested"? What should they be careful about? Well, you know, what do they need to know before investing?
Sure. Well, you know, like all investments, real estate syndications come with risk, right? You know, there's market risk. Interest rates could keep shooting through the roof, right? And keep expanding cap rates, which is great for buyers, but it's bad for sellers, right? So yeah, there's all kinds of risk involved. You could have an incompetent sponsor, for example. And again, you know, we try to mitigate all of these risks as a club when we vet deals and vet sponsors. But these are all risks that are on the table. You know, we wrote a case study within the last week or two of a real estate syndication deal that we saw go bad, and you know, what went wrong with that deal, and you know, what people should be looking out for as they vet deals moving forward. But there is risk, and you have to understand that. You know, there are, the flip side of that is that investing passively in real estate syndications doesn't come with some of the risks that you face as an active real estate investor. And I'll give you a couple examples. One is that you don't take on any legal liability when you invest as an LP, as a limited partner, a passive investor in a real estate syndication deal. You can't be sued personally if something goes wrong at the property, for example. And that's not true when you are a landlord, right? I mean, I've been sued several times as a landlord, and it sucks. But as an LP, as a passive investor in these deals, you don't take on any of that legal liability risk. You also don't take on any loan liability. So you are not signing as a guarantor for any debt associated with these properties. And again, that's not true when you are a landlord or a direct property investor. When you take out a loan to buy an investment property, you're signing a personal guarantee in 99.999% of cases. So, you know, you're on the hook for that. And if you default, the lender can come after your personal assets, you know, assuming that they don't recover all their money from the property itself. So those are two examples of risks that passive investors don't have that active investors in real estate do have. So yes, there are absolute risks when you invest passively in real estate syndications, but there are some risks that you don't actually take on as well.
What would you say some of the disadvantages are of investing, you know, passively? Is it like rate of return, or what would you say those would be?
No, I think the returns are actually quite strong.
Yeah, 15-30% is very impressive.
Yeah, those are strong risks or strong returns. The high minimum investment, if you're to invest by yourself, that's a downside. That's a hurdle to these, you know, 50 grand, 100 grand per investment. It's a lot of money. And of course, if you invest through a club like ours, you know, that drops down to 5 grand. That's still a lot more than going out and investing in like shares of a REIT, for example. But the flip side of that is that you don't have volatility with these investments that you do have with publicly traded REITs. And you don't have the same correlation with stocks that publicly traded REITs have either. But other disadvantages, a lot of real estate syndications only allow accredited investors to participate. So as a quick rehash on that, to count as an accredited investor in the eyes of Uncle Sam, you have to have a net worth of at least $1 million, not including any equity in your home, or you have to have an income over $200,000 a year for the last 2 years. If you're single, over $300,000 a year, if you're a married couple. So that restricts a lot of these deals if you are not an accredited investor. Now in our club, we only vet deals and present deals that allow non-accredited investors because inclusivity is one of our core values as a club. And that's part of the service that we're providing is we're going out and we're networking with a whole bunch of sponsors who do allow non-accredited investors. But if you are trying to invest by yourself and you're not an accredited investor, that can be a challenge for you. They're out there, but under SEC regulations, these sponsors can't advertise those deals to the public. So if they allow non-accredited investors, they can't advertise it. So that's a bit of a catch-22. If you're a non-accredited investor and you're trying to find deals, but you can't find them because sponsors aren't allowed to advertise them. So that's another hurdle if you are an investor trying to get into these. Other downsides, you don't have control over these investments the way that you do when you're an active investor and you own these properties directly. So if you're a direct owner of a property, you control when you sell it, right? Or when you refinance it, you know, you have complete control over that. No one else can tell you what to do with that. As a passive investor, you know, again, it's all in the word, right? Passive. So you do not have that control. And once your money is invested, it's locked up. So
people that are investing with you through your club, if I want to use the word competition, they're choosing between whether they should invest in stocks, bonds, or, you know, this passive real estate investment. They're not competing between, hey, should I invest in passive real estate investing through this club, or should I go out and do wholesale deals or buy my own rental properties? Is that correct?
A lot of the members of our club they invest actively and they invest passively. So it's not necessarily an either or thing. And it's certainly not an either or when it comes to stocks or other paper investments, paper assets. I have more money tied up in stocks than I do in real estate. So stocks play an important role in everybody's portfolio, you know, regardless of, you know, your age or everyone should own some stocks. So yeah, this is an additional option for investing alongside your stock portfolio, potentially alongside your active real estate portfolio. So yeah, I would not, don't consider it an either or proposition.
Right.
It's another option on the table, another way to diversify and have different types of investments.
Can only people from US be part of the club or people from other countries be part of the club?
People from other countries can join our club. That being said, they need to have a U.S. tax ID number. So they either need to have their own social security number or the foreign equivalent of one here in the U.S., or they need to have a business registered in the U.S. and have an EIN number for that business. And then they will need a U.S. bank account as well. But that's easy enough to do. You know, anyone can open an LLC, open an LLC bank account. You know, you get your EIN for the LLC and you're good to go. So yeah, and people from overseas or from overseas can join our club. They just need a U.S. taxpayer ID and a U.S. bank account.
That's great. Have you had any deal that lost money?
No, not yet. That case study that I was talking about a few minutes ago, that was a deal that we did invest in our club. So that's how we know what went wrong with it, you know, because we had front row seats for watching it implode. But that deal has not sold yet, and we don't know what will end up happening with that deal. The sponsor got in over their head and mismanaged the deal, and you know they did not underwrite the deal particularly well. So we don't know what will happen with that yet. The sponsor is trying to bring in an outside equity investor, a new partner on that, which will certainly that will dilute our ownership of it. But what they really need is they need time for that deal to, you know, if there's any chance for that deal to not lose money, they need more money to buy them time to finish the renovations, get it cash flow positive, and then they're going to need to hold it for a while to appreciate. So yeah, that is an example of a deal that went bad. We have not had any syndication deals go full cycle because these are long-term investments. Some of the early deals that we did as a club, which were single family investment properties, those are all sold, and those all had, you know, strong positive returns. So yeah, that's a long answer to your question. No, we have not had any deals lose money yet. There's one that I think is at risk for losing money. I mean, technically they're all at risk for losing money, but there's one that, you know, right. that risk is visible.
Right. So but now you're
most of the deals, they're cash flowing and they're doing great.
And how long you've had the longest investment for in, like, since you pivoted to large multifamily mobile home parks?
Yeah. So the first passive investment deal that we did as a club was in mid-2022. Okay. So we're coming on a year and a half now.
Right. Yeah. So they should be like in a year or so, they should be kind of getting to the point where they refinance and then you guys make a good chunk of cash from that.
Yeah. So I suspect, just looking out at the market as I see it over the next year or two, I suspect that a lot of those deals will be refinancing rather than selling, because it's hard to imagine that it will be a good market for selling in a year from now, you know, even year and a half, or maybe even 2 years from now, probably will not be a fantastic market for selling. So I suspect that those deals will refinance, they'll give some of our money back to us, maybe even all of our original investment capital back to us, and we'll keep earning cash flow on it. And we'll be able to redeploy that capital somewhere else and keep reinvesting it.
And where do you see the market going, you know, for multifamily, like with the interest rate environment that we're in, you know, at the end of 2023, where do you see the market headed?
Yeah, so cap rates have risen in multifamily. It's not a great time for selling right now, of course. It's hard to imagine interest rates dropping over the next year, you know, short of a recession. And of course, a recession would have other negative impact on these properties' performance as well. So yeah, I mean, I think there will be opportunities for buying at a discount. There will be some of these deals that are in distress over the next year, you know, as they have short-term debt coming due, and they, you know, that they really weren't prepared for this kind of interest rate environment and this kind of cap rate environment. So I think there'll be good opportunities for buying and investing, less so for selling. But, you know, my crystal ball is no clearer than anyone else's. So years ago, I realized that every time I tried to get like clever and time the market or pick individual stocks or any of that stuff, I got burned. So today I just practice dollar cost averaging. Every month I invest $5,000, $10,000, you know, whatever I happen to have available at that moment in these different deals. And, you know, by spreading small amounts across a lot of different properties and, you know, steadily investing each month, it's one way of protecting myself against, you know, that the ups and downs of the market. I do the same thing with my stock investments. You know, every week I have a robo advisor that just pulls money out of my checking account, and it's a form of dollar cost averaging.
That's fantastic. Yeah, Brian, thank you so much for sharing this. I mean, I honestly had no idea about this kind of investment opportunities, and I think it's great for, like you said it perfect, like your perfect avatar would be, you know, a professional who has money saved up. They want to get into real estate, but the syndication is the investment, minimum investment is too high, but they have like $5,000-$10,000 saved up that they want to invest in, you know, multifamily. I think that's a fantastic way to get started or diversify your portfolio. Oh, man. Hi, man. I have a couple of other fun questions about you. So you live in Peru, you've lived in Brazil, you lived in, you know, Middle East. What do you do for fun?
Well, travel, of course. yeah, I mean, you know, so
extensively in South America.
Yeah, so right now we are primarily traveling in South America because we spend most of the year here. When we were living in the UAE, we did more travel around Europe and the Middle East, and a little bit in Africa, because that's, you know, that's the part of the world where we were living. So every time we flew back and forth from the US to Abu Dhabi, we would do a stopover in Europe, spend, you know, 3, 4, 5 days hanging out in Paris or Amsterdam or some other European city. And it was great. It was a lot of fun. Nowadays, we're doing more travel in Central America, South America. We were in Cusco and Machu Picchu last month, which was a lot of fun. So yeah, travel is the short answer to that question. We try to do a mix of adventure travel, you know, hiking and wine country. My wife and I both love wine, and you know, so gastronomy travel, restaurants, all that kind of good stuff.
That's great, man. That's great. And what's the book that's had the biggest impact on your life? It could be a personal book, it could be a business, or it could be one of each.
I like Personal Success Made Simple by Brian Tracy. You know, he got to a point in his career where, you know, he could afford to bring in more mindset stuff. And I don't want to say like woo-woo, because it's really, it's not woo-woo out there the way that some personal finance advice is. But he incorporates that into it, you know, so a lot of that mindset work, and, you know, talks about things like the law of attraction, but he does it in a way that's very hands-on and tangible and grounded in other foundational personal finance advice. So yeah, I like that one as sort of a mix of, you know, the gritty tactics, but also some of the broader mindset work that really helps to succeed. And, you know, if I'm going to throw a work of fiction out there, I love A Gentleman in Moscow by Amor Towles.
Oh yeah.
Great book.
All right. Last question. If you could spend a day with anyone, dead or alive, who would you want to spend a day with and why?
Well, you know, I'm going to go a little basic here, and I'm going to say Buddha, just because I'm sure that he would challenge me to think far outside of my comfort zone, and to think about the world very differently than I'm used to thinking about it. But, you know, I feel like there's no wrong answers to that question. You know, yeah, there are so many people who'd be, yeah, who would be fascinating to spend a day with and force you to, you know, just think bigger than we're in the habit of thinking of in our day-to-day lives.
That's a great answer, man. Cool, man. All right, Brian, if someone wants to learn more about, you know, be part of your investing club or just connect with you, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, come to sparkrental.com. You'll see our co-investing club right there, front and center on the menu bar. You can also reach out to me personally, brian@sparkrental.com. Yeah, I answer all those myself. It's not like I have a VA answering emails for me. You can also reach us through Facebook or LinkedIn, you know, all the traditional channels at Spark Rental. You'll find us. So yeah, reach out. Don't be a stranger.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you so much for being on Resimply Podcast. You shared some fantastic information. I'd really appreciate that.
Oh, Sharad, thank you so much for having me on. This was a blast.
Thank you, man.